of May 1940, we see that Adolf Hitler had unleashed a military onslaught of France and Belgium, and their aim was to annihilate the British army. Prime Minister Winston Churchill found himself preparing to announce the unprecedented military catastrophe that would involve the death or capture of a third of a million soldiers. Craig, could you put the slide on the screen, please? But on the 23rd of May, 1940, King George announced that the following Sunday should be a national day of prayer. That's very interesting. And so, late on that Saturday evening, the military decision was taken to evacuate as many of the Allied forces as possible, which is the narrative of Dunkirk. And in that film, we see like local fishermen and boatmen taking out little boats crossing the channel to bring as many back as they can. The point herein is this notion of Yahweh Nisi, that in the difficult times, even in war, our nation drew close to God in prayer for his protection. God is our banner. And the nation gathered around God through prayer. And on that same day, the 23rd of May 1940, around 800 vessels were sent out. And for 3 days, German tanks, German soldiers stood idle. This was at Adolf Hitler's request. And during those 3 days, the evacuation of about 338,000 men took place. Actually, if that hadn't have happened, we may not have won the war. It may have been a very, very different story. Many of those soldiers returned 4 years later to bring about freedom for Europe. So on Sunday the 9th of June, King George declared a national day of thanksgiving. And get this, Winston Churchill himself declared it the miracle of Dunkirk. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That actually, when God's people pray, when we come to Yahweh Nisi, prayers bring about miracles. It's not just in the Old Testament, in the book of Nahum for Judah, it's for us. And what a wonderful thing it is for us to remember today, on Remembrance Sunday, the miracle of Dunkirk. And so now let's turn back to Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. And from this, we'll read together. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust him, but he will sweep away his enemies in an overwhelming flood. Why are you scheming against the Lord? He will destroy you with one blow. He won't need to strike twice. I love that line, doesn't it? It shows the power and supremacy of God. He doesn't need to strike twice, you know? The Lord is a strong refuge. And when the trials of life come, we see this notion, this Yahweh Shammah, that the Lord is there. The glory and presence of the Lord, as represented by the Ark of the Covenant, was with the people of God. God's presence is still with us, even though we don't realize it. You know, after the death of Jesus, the temple curtain was torn in two, wasn't it? And that represented something very significant, that no longer was the presence of God isolated in the Holy Temple. Actually, the presence of God came to live in us. Everyday people, that we could have that notion of Yahweh Shammah, that God was with us. And we also see this notion of Yahweh Elohim. Maybe we should start saying these again together. Yahweh Elohim. Signifying that our God is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is sovereign. He has power and authority over everything and everyone. He won't need to strike twice. You know, that's a very important message for us today. Sometimes we just think that God is kind of happy and fluffy and, you know, is our best mate. But we should never forget, that our God is the King of Kings. Our God is the Lord of Lords. And it's so wonderful that we are his people. But actually, he's Yahweh Elohim as well. He is the great God. And it is actually not through our good works that we become his friends. It's not through our good things that we do that we become friends. It's actually through the cross. It's actually through the cross. John 15:15, Jesus says, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. By means of our repentance, when we do bad things, by means of his grace and forgiveness through the work of the cross, we can be God's friends. Sometimes I lose that and I forget that the God I'm friends with is the King of the universe, you know? And as I work for the church, my boss is the CEO of the universe, you know? Let's never forget that. Let's never put God in a box, but remember, actually, he's made everything. And so let's turn back to Nahum. Nahum 1 verse 15. Look, a messenger is coming over the mountains with good news. He is bringing a message of peace. Celebrate your festivals, O people of Judah, and fulfill all your vows. For your wicked enemies will never invade your land again. They will be completely destroyed. And in this, we see this wonderful message of Yahweh Shalom. He is bringing a message of peace. And I love that verse in John 16. You know, when Jesus is saying, I've told you all of these things so that you can have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many troubles, many trials and sorrows, but take heart because you're going to have peace in him. And that's the very important message for us today, folks, is that we don't have peace without God. We have peace within God. If you're going through a very difficult season of life, remember, you're not going to have peace without God. You're going to have peace within God. It's not that your problems vanish. It's that actually the closer we draw to God, the more we experience this wonderful peace. And then we have this middle one. Should we say that together? Yahweh Sabaoth. No, you didn't think you'd be doing this, did you? The Lord of hosts. I love this one. Because it tells us that God is the God of kings and of servants. God is the God of rich and of poor. God is the God of all angels and all humans, every creature. God isn't just involved in the lives of the elite in Judah, the kings and princes. No, he loves every single person. You know, sometimes I feel that our society overlooks the poor and excludes the poor. But God's not like that. He doesn't judge people based on how much money they've got or, you know, their education or position in society. He loves them because they're made in his image. And we see this in Nahum as it says, celebrate your festivals, O people of Judah. Fulfill all your vows. God isn't just calling the priests and the kings, those in authority, to celebrate him. No, he says, everyone, people of Judah, everyone. Come and celebrate the Lord. And I think that's for us today. Everyone, friends, let's celebrate the Lord together because he's the Lord of hosts. And finally, in this section, we see Yahweh Jireh. Should we say that? The Lord will provide. In Nahum, we see that wonderful sentence, for your wicked enemies will never invade your land again. What they needed was peace. What they needed was security. That God was going to provide. And I think we can have that same notion for us today. Actually, God provides abundantly for us, doesn't he? Sometimes we take that for granted. But he's right there with us. Right there to provide. Can we move on, Craig? I think what we're going to do now, just to colour up the sermon a bit, we're going to watch a quick video. It's a gospel video. And some of the lyrics that are going to be on this video is that he provides abundantly. He's always on time, always there. You never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there by our sides so we can stand on his word. For he's brought us out of darkness into light. He is our soul savior. Shall we watch this video together?